This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
Well, this is not Drew Tignanelli tonight. This is Tom Bonvasuto, and I'm joined by my esteemed colleague, Chris O'Shea.
Tom, great to be with you. We don't typically share the booth together. We alternate, so it's great to be here with you and our guest.
Yep, we've got a guest with us in studio, Jim Hannon. Thanks for being with us, Jim.
Well, thank you, Tom and Chris. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, well, we're glad you could be here. And we've got Drew's out at a retirement seminar tonight out in Howard County. And, Chris, you know, we don't get to talk about Drew often when he's here.
So, our esteemed leader.
Yeah,
no.
Our esteemed leader. So you and I have been blessed to be with him. Actually, we had a little celebration today thinking about the fact he's been doing this for 30 years. He's had the firm. So we are very fortunate to have Drew to work with.
He has, and he's a true leader in the industry. And, no doubt, it is a... and that's because he's not even listening right now. So we're just saying that, just putting the facts out there.
Yeah, great guy. So those people that are in that seminar tonight are very fortunate to have him. And if for some reason you're on a smoke break, get back in the room so you can go listen to Drew. we are thankful to have Jim tonight. And, Chris, why don't you take us through Jim's bio?
Sure, yeah, I'd be glad to. It's really a pleasure to have Jim here because I think we're talking about a topic that impacts a lot of folks. And Jim is very qualified to do that. He manages the team, the fixed income team at the registered investment advisor arm of M&T, and he's been doing that for a long time. He manages a couple of funds. He's been doing it for 20 years, and he holds degrees from the University of Maryland and then actually a master's from George Washington in finance and investments. So, Jim, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Well, thank you, Chris, and once again, it's a thrill to be here.
Yeah, and I'll tell you the rest of the story, as they say.
Okay.
So Jim and I have actually known each other for 19 years, so we've seen our kids grow up. We've had kids along the way. Thank you to Janet for letting him out tonight so he could be with us. And so Jim's done a great job. He's a great mind as it comes to money management. And so, you know, his bio talks about managing some funds. But in addition to that, you know, Jim manages some corporate dollars out there for very large institutions. And so, you know, he's run IPO money, pension plans, endowments, foundations, run the money market funds for many years. So he's got a wealth of experience. And he was even a treasurer for a local municipality here in Maryland. Tell us about that, Jim.
Yes, I was, Tom. The city of Hyattsville. Back in the early 80s, right after I got out of the University of Maryland, went to work there. Never thought I'd end up in a city government, but it was a great learning experience, and I had my hands in so many different things in financial management. It was a great experience.
Yeah, and you've been with the entity now known as Wilmington Trust Investment Advisors for how long now?
It'll be 27 years this summer.
Wow.
Started in 1987.
Yeah, that's great. So,
you guys have known each other for 19 years, so you harken back to that time, then you think about 94. 94 was the worst bottom market at the time, and 60 years before that. So you've seen a lot of things happen in interest rates and in bonds. So,
yeah, exactly. So, you know, as we talk about that, we look at the economy and the like, you know, as we have had, you know, today Janet Yellen was testifying. And so, Jim, I know that, you know, the TVs were on in the office and you had your Bloomberg going and watching all that news. What were some of the things? Who is Janet Yellen? Why do we care that she was testifying? And what did she have to say?
Well, Janet Yellen, of course, is the first woman chairman of the Federal Reserve. So she was testifying before Congress today on the economy and on monetary policy. A couple of highlights from her testimony. First would be that she's concerned with the housing market, the flattening out that we've seen in the housing market, whether we're looking at new home sales, which were down 14% last month, or even existing home sales, which are kind of just trending as flat as the table that we're sitting around here. She's a little bit concerned about that, and rightfully so, because the housing market is such an important part of the economy. I think there's two reasons, perhaps, why the housing market has slowed. First, it's because we've seen housing prices continue to rise. So couple that with higher interest rates for mortgages. Now, they're still relatively low at about a little bit under 4.5%, but nevertheless, they're up from the record lows of 3.5% of, you know, a year, 2 years ago. So that is weighing on affordability. and on the housing market. So she's concerned about that. She's also concerned about the slack in the labor market. We did see just last week the unemployment rate fall to 6.3%, which was wonderful news, but it's the way that we got to 6.3. We have people leaving the workforce still. It was good news that we produced almost 300,000 jobs, which was great, but nevertheless, she is concerned about that, and it's for that reason that she said that the high degree of accommodation remains warranted for the economy, and that means no change in Fed policy with respect to the level of interest rates. They're going to remain low for some time to come.
Yeah, you talk about housing, and we all got our tax assessments, those of us that live here in Maryland, all three of us, and mine went through the roof. I don't know what you guys experienced, but that, you know, that's going to be a hit this year.
Yes. Yeah, I think you're right there. I think not only that, but higher taxes that were passed a year ago are still weighing on the consumer. And, of course, health care costs. We were talking about that earlier. Certainly going up.
Sure. So, in other words, no good news for those looking for returns of their money. Fixed income, interest rates, getting something, those especially seniors, those who are relying on income from their investments, not a lot of good news for them.
Yeah, you're right in general, Chris. Right. Short-term interest rates still at 0 to 25 basis points, so anything at the very short end of the yield curve just does not have any real return to it. And when you think about a real rate of return with inflation running at 1.5% to 2% almost, it's difficult to earn any money at the very short end of the yield curve. Mm-hmm. One of the positives, though, is that the yield curve is very steeply sloped. And therefore, if you do move out to maybe the 5-year part of the yield curve, you can earn a little bit more.
So, yeah, if you put money aside, invest in something for that period of time, 5 years, then you'll start to get something.
Exactly.
Right.
Now, Jim, you talked about jobs, and you know, fortunate enough that your daughter got a job coming out of school here, but there are a lot of people that aren't getting jobs, and the numbers looked a little bit better. But you know, what kind of jobs were created? I know you look beyond the big number and look at below the surface to see what kind of jobs are being created.
Sure, great question, Tom, and we do look at that. And surprisingly, in this past month's number, business service jobs were up about 75,000. That was very good news. You had construction jobs also picking up. You also had an increase in manufacturing jobs. So you did see some of the higher quality jobs, but yet still no wage increases. For the month, they were flat, and for the last year now, we're running basically 1.9%, and that's quite frankly no different than 2013 or 2012 or even 2011. So wage growth still somewhat depressed. Why? Because we have so much slack in the economy, because the unemployment rate is still high. And if you were to look at a broader measure of unemployment, such as the rate that includes those people that are working part-time instead of full-time, those people that are, you know, maybe they have a higher degree, but they're not utilizing that.
The underemployed, so-called.
Exactly, Chris. That rate is 12.3%.
Right.
The spread between that rate and the rate that gets the headlines at 6.3, that's one of the widest levels it's ever been.
Right. And that's what everybody who follows it in any way, just knowing neighbors and friends and family, know that it's a tough job market.
It is. It still does remain a tough job market.
Great. Well, we're going to take a break, but when we get back, we're going to talk about how all this economic and rates and basis points, how that all affects your portfolio and what you might be doing out there. So let's turn it over to Maggie Hunter with traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, Noah's got us rocking in here a little bit today. This is Tom Bombasuto back with Chris O'Shea and our guest Jim Hannon from Wilmington Trust Investment Advisors.
So just in case, if Drew happens to listen to this later on, we're going to say the Irish are outweighing the Italian tonight.
Yeah, I was thinking that. It's like the Irish hour, you know. So we've either got O's like O'Shea or we got mix in our heritage.
It's good to know that you have that in your
quarter Irish. My mom's probably listening in, and she's brings my Irish and German side to the table.
That's good.
Jim, we were talking about rates, and it gets a little confusing for folks out there, and we know they're not getting a lot in the bank, but we talk about Fed funds rates and those being low. You said 0 to 25 basis points, so to translate that to everybody else, that's a quarter of a percent, which is really not that much. And then we talk about the 10-year Treasury, and there's been a lot of concern about the 10-year Treasury rates, and a lot of the market follows that, and you can explain why they follow that. But we've had movements in that rates from historic lows down, I think we were down like 130-ish, and then we got up to 3% last year. So we actually had a negative year in the bond market as a whole, and then people have been worried about a continuing rise in rates. That hasn't happened so far in the first, 5 months of this year, 4.5 months of this year. So why don't you tell us, what are your thoughts about rates, whether they're going higher or lower? Do we care? Should we care? Why do we care?
Okay, great, Tom. Well, you're right. One of the major surprises in the financial markets year to date has been that 10-year yields have actually fallen. And they've fallen by a fair amount. We're down to about 260 now, 2.6%. is the yield on the 10-year Treasury. And that is down from over 3%. And I think there's a couple reasons why, first off, the rates have fallen. First and foremost, it's that inflation remains low. And most importantly, inflation expectations remain low. Why? Because the economy continues to just kind of muddle along. We just had first quarter GDP come out, and granted the economy was frozen by the winter weather, but 0.1% over the last year, 2.3.
Not an earthquake.
No. No. No, Chris.
Not an earthquake of growth.
No. So couple that with the fact that you also have the reason why the 10-year yield is very important is that that is the yield that is used to set mortgage rates. And we know how important, we talked about housing earlier and how the housing market is certainly a pillar of the economy and certainly aided the economy coming out of the recession because of those record low rates.
Right, so everybody enjoys that part of it. They enjoy the part that rates are low. I've refinanced a couple of times, and so they're at very low rates. So that part they're enjoying.
Exactly. The problem is when you go to invest your savings, and the yield curve, which simply the yield curve, for those of you that may not be familiar with that term, if you were just to plot on a piece of paper, the yield on the 1 year, the 2 year, the 3 year, the 5 year, the 7 year, the 10 year, all the way out to 30 years, and draw a line connecting those, it would give you the shape of the yield curve. Now, over time, the shape and slope of the yield curve will move.
Right
now, it's very steep.
Right. Sure.
So, in a period when the Fed is raising interest rates, the yield curve will flatten out. And that's a tremendous sign to watch for, because as the yield curve flattens out, and whenever the yield curve inverts, that's a sign that, look out, we're going to be going into recession within the next year, typically. So that's something that, listeners out there will really want to focus in on. Today, the yield curve's tremendously steep. Why? Because the Fed is keeping short-term interest rates still at these very low levels.
Yeah, I remember last time the yield curve inverted, it was everybody was saying, this time it's different, right? It wasn't different. Was
exactly.
It?
And I, quite frankly, I got suckered in. I thought it was different, and actually, it was not different.
Yeah, well, we had a colleague we used to work with, Dr. Bob Sweet. He frequently would talk about how he got suckered in a little bit with, short-term rates were, 21% back in the 80s, and long-term 30-year rates were 18. He's like, why would I put my money out for 30 years when at 18% when I can get 21% overnight?
Exactly.
Exactly right. Because people didn't want to be in the stock market at that point. It had gone through the 60s, 70s, and early 80s. It had done nothing for that period of time. And so 21% money market.
Exactly.
Think of that. Where are we now?
Exactly. And housing rates, I mean, mortgage rates are at historic lows still. I mean, my first mortgage was double digits, and that was in the 90s. I'm sure you guys have maybe all had
mortgage
rates. Sure,
I was 12%, 1985.
Yeah, exactly. So we've all had that. So, I mean, it's still a great time to buy a house. Money's still cheap from that perspective. But we have seen housing prices go up as a result of that to some degree.
We certainly have.
Right.
So, our at Wilmington Trust Investment Advisors, what do we think for the economy and for interest rates as we move forward? Well, we think the Fed's still on hold, and we think they'll be on hold for at least the remainder of this year. The market's actually pricing in, if you look at the futures market, sometime in the September, October of 2015 for the first increase in interest rates. Now, we all know that the Fed is reducing the amount of buying that they're doing in the market, right? They were buying $85 billion worth of securities each month. Why? Because they want to try to manipulate interest rates and keep them low to aid the housing market, right, aid people that are borrowing money so that maybe they'll borrow money and then build a new plant or buy a new piece of equipment. They're making it less costly for them. But as we move further out, you know, interest rates should begin to rise as we move along the yield curve. And we expect as we move through this year and we get ever closer to that Fed tightening, even though it's still way out in the future, the market will start to respond to that, just like it did last year when Chairman Bernanke first brought up the idea of, well, you know, we may look to start reducing the amount of purchases that we're doing. Now, the Fed started reducing those purchases back in December. They've done it now at four straight meetings. And quite frankly, it has had no impact on longer-term yields as they have moved lower. We also have what's been going on geopolitically,
right,
having some impact on maybe causing rates to move lower. And I'm talking about the Russian-Ukraine situation.
Right.
Right. I have a question just to try to put something in perspective for the average listener or even people who follow it fairly closely. So given the same set of facts that the person who, you know, you think the Federal Reserve chairman has an impact on, so the predecessor Bernanke, who was there during the 08 crash and beyond, and now Yellen, even though she was the vice chair for a number of years, would she be more apt to have interest rates rise a little bit than Bernanke, or is she lockstep with him?
Great question. Janet Yellen has always been labeled more dovish than Ben Bernanke, who was kind of known as almost Helicopter Ben because he provided so much money at the height of the financial crisis.
Okay, so dovish meaning?
That she would keep, all things being equal, keep interest rates lower, as opposed to some members of the FOMC, Federal Open Market Committee, the Federal Reserve. Perhaps they're a little bit more hawkish, and they would not have gone along with the idea of the Fed buying $85 billion worth of securities per month, or even today, underneath the current policy, they're buying $45 billion. So, great question.
So she would be a little more receptive to inflation?
I think she would.
Yep.
Although what was interesting, Chris, is that at her first press conference, she kind of came out and threw the market a curveball, if you will, by, you know, everybody looks at her words and they try to dissect every statement of any Fed person. And at that particular meeting, they said that, you know, we would maintain low interest rates for some time. Well, first question to her at the press conference was, can you quantify that? And she surprised everybody by saying 6 months. That was shorter than what was expected. That did cause a little blip up in interest rates and some adjustments in the market. I think even that day, the equity markets took it on the chin.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a little break, and when we get back, we'll talk some on the funds that you manage and kind of the opportunities of what you're seeing and how you're investing, and then we'll get into even more details about what individuals can do. But right now, we're going to take a break with traffic and Maggie Hunter, weather with Mark Thibodeau, and the Wall Street Journal Report with Mike Franciotti.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Yes, this is Money, Riches, and Wealth. This is Tom Bombasuto with Chris O'Shea and our guest, Jim Hannon from Wilmington Trust Investment Advisors. And Jim, you manage two bond funds at Wilmington Trust. You have a limited duration U.S. government bond fund, and then you also have the broad market fund. So what I'd like you to do is give us some perspective on how those funds are constructed and how they might react in these different environments that we've talked about in the first half of the show, and what kind, you know, when you might want to buy them and who might want to buy them.
Okay, great, Tom. Let's start with the less riskier fund. Okay, so that would be the short duration government bond fund. So this fund, approximately $100 million, managed by our team, fixed income team, and typically we're buying U.S. Treasury securities, which obviously are very, very safe, no credit risk there. We buy government agency securities.
Are you sure about that?
I am sure about that.
There's hope not.
I am sure about that. I feel very confident in that. Then they all. We also invest in short maturity mortgage-backed securities that are issued and insured by the government agencies, either Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae or even sometimes Ginnie Mae. And typically we're buying securities that have a maturity of 5 years or less. So the interest rate sensitivity of the portfolio to a given move in interest rates because it has shorter maturity securities is less. So if you were to think about if interest rates were to go up by 1% and if you're in the limited government duration fund, your total return would decline by approximately 1.5%. So that's the limited duration government fund.
Right. So there's an inverse relationship here. So as rates go up, the value of the bond you already own goes down.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Now, it's a very well-diversified portfolio, and we're invested all along the short to intermediate part of the yield curve. So year-to-date, that fund's up probably about 50 basis points.
A half a percent.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, let's compare that to the Wilmington Broad Market Fund. That fund has approximately $250 million in assets in it, and it is invested in a much wider variety of securities and also takes on some credit risk. So approximately 50% of the portfolio is in corporate bonds. Now, we do our own independent credit analysis. We do not rely solely upon the rating agencies. We think that's extremely important. And what we try to do with our corporate bonds is, once again, be very well diversified across industries and maturities. That way, we limit any, you know, downside risk to the portfolio if all of a sudden somebody comes out and they change their credit profile, or maybe they miss their earnings, or something else happens which would cause those bonds to underperform. By having a small position, typically less than 1% of the portfolio in any one issuer, that's what we do there. We also invest in mortgage-backed securities. We have about 20% of the portfolio in mortgage-backed securities. Once again, government agency-issued mortgage-backed securities. Now, from a maturity standpoint, we are investing all along the yield curve, all the way out to 30-year bonds. Why? Because 30-year bonds, you have this positively sloped yield curve, and you can pick up additional yield by doing that. So, for instance, we may buy a 30-year bond that may be yielding 4.5% to even 5%. So the overall average maturity of the portfolio is approximately 5.5 years. So you can see we're taking a lot more interest rate risk, because if interest rates, once again, were to go up by 1%, then that portfolio would be down by 5.5%. Now, typically, over longer periods of time, investors get paid for taking on that additional interest rate risk. And as I mentioned earlier, with interest rates surprisingly moving lower this year, that portfolio was up about 3.2% year to date. Now, last year it was down 2-odd%, whereas that limited duration government fund basically was about flat to maybe up 10 basis points. So in a rising interest rate environment, you want to protect yourself by being in shorter maturity bonds. But when interest rates are moving down, being in that longer maturity fund certainly works well.
Right. So, you know, when you look at bond funds or bonds at whole, but bond funds in particular, you've identified some things for individuals to look at is what kind of a maturity structure and what's known in the industry as duration of the portfolio, the interest rate sensitivity. So a shorter duration or shorter interest rate maturity structures, if you will, versus longer. So if, depending on which direction they think rates are going, is something, it's a risk. Is your interest rate structure. You've talked a little bit about credit structure. So something like the government, the U.S. government, having a reliable payback, you know, they can raise taxes, right, to pay back the debt, and they can do all sorts of things. So heretofore, it's been reliable, and they pay it back, and even though we did have our credit rating downgraded. But it's been good versus corporate bonds, which, you know, there's a risk of default. So those are a couple of risks. Any other risks as you look at bonds that people want to consider?
Those are the two main risks. There's also what's known as liquidity risk. Are the securities that you're purchasing, can you easily sell those into the secondary market? Some securities are easier to sell than others. And think about it, if you're managing a portfolio and all of a sudden you have investors that maybe they want their money back, maybe they need it, they're going to change their asset allocation, or maybe they're making a purchase. Well, liquidity risk is also important, and that's something that we focus on very closely to make sure that we can always go into that secondary market and sell a bond very easily. What makes a particular bond liquid? First and foremost, it's the size of the issue. Even if it's a government agency issue, we find larger issues easier to sell than smaller issues. And then, is the issuer a routine issuer in the market? Are they more of a household name, or is it a one-off name? One-off names, not as easy to sell in the secondary market.
All right. So, Jim, why don't you give us and the listeners here on the line some way, how do people get access to your funds? What's the best way to find out more about what you do and your funds?
Sure, Tom. Well, you can certainly go to our website, wilmingtonfunds.com, to get information on the funds. If you're interested in actually purchasing a fund, you can go into any M&T bank branch, your local branch, and ask to speak to somebody with M&T Securities, and they would be more than happy to help you and actually give you a plan and look at, you know, what makes sense for your investment objectives and your risk tolerance. Where do you want to be? What type of fund do you want to be in?
Okay, great. Well, we're going to come back in the last segment, talk a little bit more about the individuals and what the other opportunities are out there for folks. Right now, we're going to take a break. Weather with Mark Thibodeau.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. I believe what you want from your financial advisor is objective advice, assistance with any facet of personal financial advice quickly and to your benefit. This comprehensive assistance would help to lessen your worry and burden about your financial future. I have adopted the model of the medical profession to accomplish this goal. Educated and experienced professionals working in a team for you to accomplish your goals is the fulfillment of my dream in the Financial Consulate. No matter what your financial status, our firm has a team to work with you. If my dream is your dream of what you want from your financial advisor, then give us a call at 410-823-7283 for a no-obligation introductory meeting. We will explain more about our guaranteed financial physical. Call 410-823-SAVE or on the web, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right. Well, welcome back. And this is Tom Bombasuto with Chris O'Shea and Jim Hannon from Wilmington Trust Investment Advisors.
Listening to a little bit of mellow music there, Noah.
Yeah.
We noticed that. Okay.
That's right.
Tone it down from before.
Tone it down. We've gotten so excited. He's trying to calm us down a little bit. But you know, who would think you'd get excited about bonds?
All right. Hey, you know.
Yeah, and we talked about doves and hawks earlier. You know, we didn't talk about the bulls.
Like the people
and
who are interested
bears.
In bonds, Tom. We can. It's something I heard in another realm, but it applies. You know, people who talk about bonds. We're not boring people. We just get excited about boring stuff. So anyway, we've got 10 minutes to go in the show.
Yeah, you are a CPA, aren't you?
That's right.
But yeah, you know, last segment we spoke with Jim and he gave us some perspective on these two funds he has. And you know, Jim, one of the things that comes up a lot of times is folks are saying, well, yeah, I'm just going to go out and buy individual bonds. And, you know, versus buying a fund. There's this perception that individual bonds are better than a fund because they have a maturity and the like. And you touched on it a little bit. Maybe you can expand upon, you know, why somebody would buy an individual bond and try and do that versus somebody might buy a bond mutual fund.
Okay, sure, Tom. Well, I think that for the individual that wants to buy an individual bond, the key is first understanding what maturity, and are you going to need to sell that bond perhaps early? Because once again, we talked about liquidity, and the question is, are you purchasing a liquid bond? Are you buying a sufficient enough size that you're not going to get nicked for an odd lot trade when you go to sell that bond if you need to sell it? Now, if you don't need to sell it, it's okay to buy it, hold it to maturity. Once again, the key is what type of credit risk do you want to take? If you're buying a treasury or a government agency, well, that's fine. Perhaps even if you're buying a high-quality municipal bond, like a state of Maryland general obligation bond, because our state economy is so diverse and very vibrant, well, then that makes sense. That's okay. But you don't want to be doing that if you're buying, let's say, a bond for a muni bond from, I hate to pick on the city of Detroit, but let's pick on them, you know, then you have a problem because you haven't done your credit work. And you may have been talked into that bond because, guess what, the yield on that bond was probably much higher. Why? Because of the credit risk that's there. So that's very important to look at when you look at individual bonds. Compare that to being invested in a mutual fund, you have diversification in a mutual fund. Some funds have more diversification than others. Our funds, the Wilmington funds, that's something that we really believe in. That's one of our philosophies, is that we want to have a well-diversified portfolio, and we think that's important. It also gives you the ability to get in and out very easily out of a mutual fund, because you can sell that share at the NAV, the net asset value, which is calculated each day on the portfolio.
Right. Yeah. So that, I mean, that's some of the distinguishing characteristics as people wrestle with that. And you look at the options out there, we talked about money markets, essentially at zero. Now there are some, if you go out there and some of the services we refer folks to, that they can get a higher rate on some of those money markets. You know, I hear folks on other shows talking about these guaranteed rates of return. And you know, Yellen, in her testimony today, talked about people reaching for yield. And so as we look at the different things that people have options to buy, you know, they can go and they can put their money into a CD. They can put it, you know, at a bank CD or otherwise, but they can also put money into stocks. You know, people look at dividend-paying stocks. I mean, you mentioned earlier that people want to find out about your funds. They can go to an M&T bank branch. M&T's got a 280 dividend, which is about 2.3% yield right now. And we're talking about the 10-year treasury is at 2.6%. So, and you get pretty good tax rates on dividends currently. And, you know, there's some benefits to that. So people can go into dividend paying stocks. But there's other things out there, Jim, that people talk about and they get confused. There's something called floating rate securities. And there's different kinds of floating rate securities. I know that you like to buy floating rate securities at certain points in time. But there's also something called floating rate high yield or bank loan securities. Maybe you can compare and contrast even some of the differences between those two things and why somebody would buy one versus the other.
Certainly, Tom. Well, let's first look at floating rate securities that are issued by corporate institutions. So in particular, that's something that we do invest in our mutual funds, especially in our short term corporate bond fund that's managed by my good friend and colleague Will Stith. And that fund, we're buying perhaps a 5-year final maturity floating rate security where the coupon is going to reset every 3 months for the next 5 years. typically we're buying those at about a 1% type of yield. That's a decent yield compared to the zero that you're getting in your money market fund.
Right.
Now, compare that to a high yield floating rate fund. Now, all of a sudden, you're taking on a lot more credit risk, higher probability that the issuer perhaps will default, and that will weigh on the value of that particular security. So being invested in a high-yield fund, and Janet Yellen did talk about that today, some individuals are reaching for yield because why? We are in this, continue to be in this very low interest rate environment. So they're reaching for yield by taking on more credit risk. And we've seen the risk premium, especially on high-yield securities, really shrink. We've seen it also shrink on corporate bonds. It's not down to the historically low levels, but it's approaching that. So that's a concern that I have. And also leverage loan market. That's another concern that I have. Why? We had a record amount of issuance last year. So that meant that some companies that perhaps in prior years couldn't come to market, last year, the demand was there because, yes, some individuals are trying to reach for yield and invest in those types of products, be it through a fund or buying the securities individually, because they do have higher yields. And as long as the economy is fine and interest rates aren't going higher and everything is fine, that's not a problem. But as soon as you have an issue, such as rising interest rates last year, and all of a sudden it's going to be risk off and everybody's going to be running for the hills, those types of funds will underperform dramatically. And that's a concern I have because you had a tremendous amount of issuance last year, and some of the covenants around those issues, they're very light and they're not going to protect investors.
Right. So, you know, if you're a retiree or somebody out there that's, CDs maturing and are like, what am I going to do with this money today? You know, what kind of things that would you point people to as they're looking at a place to invest?
Sure. I would point them to either depending on their time frame, most likely an intermediate type of portfolio. Why? Because, as I mentioned earlier, the yield curve is very steep. So that means we're pricing in higher interest rates into the future. Why not take advantage of collecting a little bit higher yield by being invested in the intermediate part of the yield curve? We still have the Fed on hold, and surprisingly and interestingly enough, when the Fed goes to tighten, it's going to be short-term interest rates that are going to go up more than long-term interest rates.
Yep. Well, Jim, as we say all the time, time flies when we've got a great guest like you. So, Jim, thanks for being with us. Jim Hannon from Wilmington Trust Investment Advisors. Everybody have a great night.
Thank you, Tom.